You're listening to a Toe Network production, putting heroes on trial because someone has to. Tired of the discourse and writer fandom? Looking for something to put that bounce in your step and a bee in your bonnet? Then look no further than the Uncommon Cast RX, Active Ingredients, Aleph, Amit, Claire, Gomez Q, Neji Rayon, Professor What, Sona, The Imposter. Side effects may include Heiseiitis, Showa Fever, Helper Robotophobia, and an English Lilt. All right, welcome everybody to the Uncommon Cast RX.
Hey.
This is our 9th Kiva episode. It's going to be 3 of us here today. You already heard Todd a little bit, but I am Amit, and we are joined by...
Hello, this is Claire, as usual.
You already heard me a little bit, so I don't really have anything to add, to be honest. Let's get down to it. This is it. This is the end.
This is the end. All right. Yeah, the big final 2 episodes. I think I actually watched them back-to-back, and... it was amazing.
Claire and I watched them back-to-back, too, which was really hard because she couldn't actually see. We had to set up a mirror.
Oh, I get it.
10 years, folks. 10 years of this.
Okay. Kiva. Kiva. Episode 47. Watcher chooses the third path and seeks to become the Fangar King to alter human Fangar relations. He shows his dominance because might makes right in the Fangar law and takes on the visage of King as a sign of strength. Okay, so, this episode, Taiga had me in tears. His fear and sadness were moving. He's been blinded as to how else a person can live, and that's really sad.
I can only imagine what this is making you think. Will he die? Is he gonna die? Will Tiger die? Is Tiger...
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably get Shadow Moon, doesn't he?
That'll be sad.
Is that what you were thinking at this point?
Basically, I thought, yeah, he looks like he's getting to the point where he's beyond redemption or whatever.
And having seen a show like this before, you figure, well, then he has to die.
Well, especially being exposed to post-decade Kamen Rider where everything is the same over and over and over again.
Ooh, oh
yeah.
Dear.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. And that's not even, you know, intentional. It's just, I'm just speaking the facts here.
You've watched the series in question. So, I mean, you know, normally people take issue with that sort of thing because they haven't actually watched them. But you have. So, I mean, I buy your opinion on that.
Thank you. Double O's. Same stuff happens. Wizard, same stuff happens with a slightly different twist. Gaim is just a mess. So
very similar structures, yeah, it must be said. I mean, I'm going to try and be a bit more... I don't know. I'll be trying to be fair, but yeah, very similar structures there. And Kiva, with what happens to Tiger, I guess, spoilers, he doesn't die. That is a bit of a pleasant surprise for all of us.
Yeah, it definitely is. And there is... you can follow a structure or a formula without having everything be the same over and over and over again, which I would say there is a quality in execution and, or sorry, there's a variance in quality and execution of the 5 post-decade shows that I just talked about. And I think you could say, well, Kiva's just a, you know, gothic romance, tragedy, whatever. It is, but it does things in a, well, I mean, generally, I believe the genre does things in interesting ways. I don't know if I mentioned this on these discussions proper, but I did finish Castle of Otranto, and that has, you know, sad stuff happening to people and people, like, growing and accepting it and moving on, which is really cool. And that formula, if you want to call it that, is followed in Kiva, and it's done interestingly.
Can I ask, you said in a little... introductory synopsis there, might makes right.
Yes.
Did you choose that phrase purposefully? Or did it just sort of occur to you as...
I believe that I was paraphrasing the show, which is, Wataru said himself that strength is what gives people power, and in the Fangire, you know, system or whatever, and I chose Might Makes Right specifically, you know, because it was easy to paraphrase with that, but also because that's a wrong-headed attitude that I think is reflected in how Fangires work, too.
It was interesting because that phrase is very, very much guess a motif. Is there a different word for a motif in words?
Probably.
But we don't know it.
Lingua motif.
Yeah, yeah. One of those. In the ones in Future King, which I think I've mentioned more than once in previous episodes. But
you mentioned a couple times.
It is, it's like, that is a very, it's like the central philosophical question in the novels is, how can I get around the fact that might makes right when I just want to be a pacifist, but also I think it's wrong to be a bully, but I can stop you with might, so I'm very confused, I'm King Arthur, oh no. and that, thinking about it from this Finnish perspective, there is actually quite a lot of, well, I think I've been mentioning it every time it comes up, but there's quite a lot of Arthurian aesthetic in Kiva throughout. And,
Well, there's you only need a sword and a stone, don't you?
You do, but it's not just that, though, is it? Because there's the love triangle.
Yeah.
Like the tragic and accidental and non-spiteful love triangle.
Mm-hmm.
Lancelot, quite often you're like, is he going to die? Would it be better almost? Is it? But he makes it to the end, really, and they both grow old and they both love each other, but they just can't really be nice to each other.
Mystic old woman in a cave.
Yeah, yeah. There's, and all, I mean, even, like, we keep saying, why does Washu turn into a bird? Arthur does.
Turns into a goose, and
it yeah, it's...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a very, very interesting
fiction. We all can, fiction. Over here. You learn it at about seven.
But, yeah, in the book, Merlin lets Arthur learn about how to be a better king, by turning him into a series of animals, so he lives as that animal and finds out how their society works so that he can better govern his own.
Wow.
And best of all, he likes being a goose because he has no problems when he's a goose. he falls in love with a girl goose and it's just gentle and lovely, but he can't stay because he has to be the king. Yeah, I think, as well as any number of Gothic novels, that I would recommend to people who enjoyed Kiva, I would definitely recommend reading the ones in Future King just to see the various parallels and just, you know, to enjoy a good, interesting literary experience that is on a lot of similar wavelengths, I think.
Okay, I need to pause you for a moment there. I have heard that there are several Arthur canons, so to speak.
Yeah.
How old is the Once in Future King?
From the 30s, I think. Is it?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not
the
ancient.
The 1930s.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the 0030s.
So not written by the French author? Who wrote a lot of Arthur?
No, English guy, I think.
Okay.
Are you thinking of Le Morte d'Arthur?
Oh, right, no, it's a much more, it's a 20th century version.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's definitely something I would be interested in. We should take inspiration from the media we watch and look into other things to consume, too.
Definitely. It's definitely an adult book.
Oh, good. Good to know.
And if, like me, you're not so good with books, you can check out Arthur and the Knights of Justice, which is a 90s cartoon.
Punish yourself.
In which an American football team...
That's the show?
Not only into the distant past, but also apparently to England.
Well, it was a... It was a hole in time and space.
Time and space, exactly. And they become knights, and they have to fight Morgana and her bad knights. And that was a show that was on telly.
It's a terrible show.
I ran the Knights of Justice, pushing evil down.
What? I'm ashamed to say that I love that show, and I've been wondering what it was, so I could check it out.
Yeah, there you go. It's like Visionary, but shite.
He doesn't tell Guinevere that he's not really her husband.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's actually horrible, yeah.
Oh, boy.
You deserve to be cheated on if you're secretly someone else.
If you want the cool version of Arthur and the Knights of Justice, go back in time and check out Visionaries. Anyway, Kiva.
Yes, Kiva. Okay, so moving through. So much happens here so fast that I'm really not sure where to begin.
Yeah, that's a denouement, baby. Kiva does have a climactic climax, doesn't it? Like, these last two episodes.
It all happened.
I mean, again, it's easy to compare it to other things very favourably.
It's easy to compare it to... I think it probably has the best end pacing of any Kamen Rider that I've seen.
I want to at least try to stay vaguely within, you know, a couple of years of Kiba. Decade, of course, is out for various reasons.
Yeah. That was just right out the door.
It would be unfair, I
think. Don't come back.
To compare every decade. I liked Forze's ending.
But the pacing of the ending.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it all was kind of done in one episode, really, for my money. Whereas Kiba very wisely spreads it across these two. Mm. The final episode, obviously, we're not quite there yet, but it is basically just fallout. It's episode 47 here is the one where the actual climax occurs, I'd argue.
It does have that sort of... See, I know we've talked a lot about how...
There's smirking.
How the criticism of Inoue's style is mostly toothless. but it does have... I do look at this ending and think, yeah, that's kind of his thing, isn't it? Because it has the same sort of... Well, I'm thinking of Agito, and Agito's ending is just so weirdly paced, because it finishes and then there are five or six more episodes and then it finishes again. Yeah. And this, it feels very similar, but it actually manages to keep things going, and it keeps... Because Wataru suddenly becoming Dark Kiba, what? Why? What are you doing? It seems like there should be five or six or ten more episodes after that. It seems awfully sudden, and how can it possibly be cleared up in time? Yeah. But
it's more like
is.
Blades. I think it's more like Blades. I remember a lot of stuff happening in Blade, or at least that's how it felt to me.
That's true, actually.
Lot of things are suddenly brought together while Mutsuki sits and watches. I kid Mutsuki. Yeah, but I mean, I think we should let Amit run over his... it's funny, you just use the name Wataru, but I think someone here is getting pretty fond of Tiger. And I think he should run over Tiger's little... you know, the final battle here for our hero, Kamen Rider Saga, which is, of course, what the show is called.
Exactly. I actually just got some very Taiga shoes, so I'm going to have to get myself a Taiga jacket. And,
That's neat.
We're going to love your Taiga feet.
postcard audience. Yeah.
Taiga has had this deep-running kindness all this time, according to Shima, who Taiga saved after apparently killing him as a show of power. Taiga has lost his way, desperate to look strong in order to keep from losing everything he has. In mad grief, he even killed Maya, in his mind, spoilers, who he feared didn't love him. She had refused to give him Kivat II because she knew Wataru would change things, where Taiga would continue King's legacy. Kivat II comes to him saying his sadness has earned him the power of Dark Kiva. He strips off his humanity, also known as his left-hand glove, and Kivat II bites his left hand.
That's where I kept mine. To like a
Yeah, but it's a great symbolism, I think.
I can't believe he killed Maya! No, when I first saw that scene, prior to this rewatch for these reviews, I literally didn't believe it.
Yeah, it was really annoying.
I knew something was up. Yeah,
I was like, oh, I don't...
No, but I'm using that word. I literally didn't believe it. He hasn't killed her, has he? He didn't kill Shima. He's not killed Maya.
You're ruining it for me.
Yeah, sorry. Did you believe it then? It just messed you up.
It wasn't like so conscious as believing or not believing. I was just, watching it and enjoying what I was seeing. So it was...
Enjoying matricide, is that right?
I like seeing where...
Enjoying the drama of the situation.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know what I like? And I'm the one who always says we shouldn't talk about the writers because we can't be sure who's actually responsible for what, but if we hold Inoue responsible for a scene like this, what I like about this writing style, so possibly what I like about Inoue, is it's nice to see where influences come from. I like being able to look at a kid's show and be like, oh... This person who wrote this obviously knows of Shakespeare. This person who wrote this has obviously seen this, read this kind of story, or seen this kind of film in their life. Because I think it's important to be able to trace roots like that. I think it's important to be able to show influences in a media text. And I know it's become pretty cool on this show to bash Gaim, But one of my main criticisms of that would be it does kind of seem like a fever dream. A lot of people want to praise originality, but Gaim seems like the kind of idea maybe, all the themes together, all the plot points together, it seems like the kind of thing maybe someone would come up with, like, they're sick. And you know when you're sick and you go to sleep and then maybe you wake up at like 2 a.m. and like you don't know what you're doing and you're like all sweaty and you've got this really annoying song on a loop in your head and it's just like 2 seconds from this really annoying song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the kind of thing you come up with then. Kiva, especially here with this scene of a guy thinking he's killed his mother in a cave in the rain, that's much more of a story that you've created based on your experiences with other fiction. And I appreciate that. And I think that's a better thing, honestly, to put in a kid's show.
I've got a note that I couldn't remember what it was about.
Okay.
That says, subverted, brackets, question mark, samurai pass by. That may be referring to this scene, it may be referring to a different scene, I'm not sure. But there was definitely something in this episode where two people did that.
Cling!
Where they
Ninja Gaiden
past
intro.
Each other, and then they pause, and usually someone's going to fall down. But it didn't, and something else happened instead.
No, I think that, yeah. I'm not sure. I don't think that's the Tiger and Mario.
No, I think it was Tiger and Washer while I was saying it. It was...
Yeah. Honestly, though, that is, I don't even know what to call that. I guess, well, no, you can't really call that a trope, although I'm sure there's a website that does. Yeah, the old samurai clash. That is I've never seen it not subverted. You know what I mean? Because, like,
no,
it just asks for
you
it.
You have.
Really?
Yeah, the blood dribbles down the mouth when someone falls down or someone goes, oh!
Yeah, that happens every
that's
time.
That's not subversion.
That's following it to a T.
That's the truth.
No, but...
Or whatever you would like
cliche,
to call it.
Cliche, I'll just call it cliche.
Okay.
But I mean, no, but I'm saying, like, it always is what they don't want you to expect. Like, it always seems like one of them is injured... And then it will always be the other one of them will blood or
the panting
mouth,
one holding
and the
shoulder.
The other one will die. Yeah.
Right.
Well, but neither of them died.
Okay. Well, I don't remember.
Okay,
okay.
I don't just shit around with subverted.
Oh my god.
You can write that word though. You can bleep that. I think that would sound funnier.
Anyway, I have another lost note that I'll just slot in to change
please,
the subject.
Please, mother
here,
of lost notes.
Because I just
notes.
Remembered.
Goddess of the crossroads. Hecate.
Or I'll curse you. Because I think we've already passed the scene that it refers to. My note says, no gay panic.
Mm-hmm.
And what that was about was when Shima turns up alive after all again. and Master is giving him kisses, I think. I can't remember if it's kisses or hugs or what. But
he does, he kisses him.
There's
the
no
face.
Gay panic in that scene. And that shouldn't be like, wow, look, there's no gay panic. But it is in Kamen Rider and elsewhere.
He doesn't Haruto him, does he?
There was no...
Keep your donuts away from me.
Fear of emasculation or anything in that scene. It was just lovely between friends, and I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Good for Kiva.
Yeah, it is.
For not being rubbish.
I actually was reminded of the speculation that the two of you had brought up before, that maybe they had met at a bar.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, maybe. I'm okay with that.
Shima and Akira are the most believable gay couple I think I've seen in Toku.
Or just, like, friends who are both gay but not going out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right.
I mean, I could go either way. I love them both, and I hope they're happy, even though they're not real. I do.
Oh, that's cool. All right, let's see. Megumi has volunteered to be Nago's eyes on the battlefield as they fight the hordes of Fangire. Bishop has revived to harvest human souls to resurrect King. And I didn't like this because, why doesn't she just become Ixa? And I know it's because she, in the story, it's because she respects him so much and whatever. And it was cool to see the connection forming so strongly between them.
Mm.
But less than satisfactory for me.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do think that it, like, the narrative had sort of, well, rather the writer had written themselves into a corner because the storytelling wouldn't have satisfactorily closed if Megumi had just taken it up and then Nagu's not Ixa anymore and Megumi is, and, like, it doesn't, the diagrams aren't quite right. You know what I mean? Like, the thing is, it's not... I don't know.
People can't see your hands, though.
Yeah, that's... I'm doing a lot of gesturing. I do think that it would have been a shame if Megumi had to get Ixa because Nago just can't have it anymore. But I don't think that was conscious. I think it was just that the stories that all of these particular characters have had so far needed this interaction to complete their journeys, finally. Like, the story that we've been given wouldn't have felt right if Nago just goes blind and then Megumi is Ixa and that's that. I would love for Megumi to be Ixa, and I'm not, like, hooray, she's not.
Mm.
But I don't know that it would have been... I don't think I would have felt satisfied. Like, finally, at last, now everything is fixed. I don't think that would have been how I actually felt if she, at this point, just becomes Ixa. It wouldn't really have meant much to me, I don't think.
Right, because it wouldn't have been earned, right?
Well, just because it wouldn't...
It's not what they were setting up.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have felt fulfilling.
It wouldn't reward her, really. It wouldn't... Nago, at last, doesn't really deserve to lose it. What would she use it... Like, I don't want to just see her get it at the end. What's that for, then? Like, why not have it in the whole series?
Maybe their daughter is new Ixa fighting the Neo-Fengai along Masao, right?
Absolutely.
So. And she looks like Yuri.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And finally, that face falls in love with that face, and we're all very happy. No!
No, that's not even what I was saying. Anyway, that would be quasi-incest, anyway.
You guys are spoiling wouldn't the they final be cousins? Episode.
Anyway.
We don't know. Who's Megumi's father? It's nearly the final episode. We still don't know.
It's a toy. Anyway, going on. Let's see. Before Maya died, allegedly, she told Wataru that his kindness made him strong, which he denied. Throughout the episode, he buries his softness and makes himself appear harder and colder to claim the throne. And sorry for the, you know, less than wonderful words to use there, but it's the best I can think of, especially when I come from a culture where people say, oh, now you're acting hard, huh? And then, you know, they fight or whatever. Anyway, finally, he enters Castle Duran dressed as king himself and seats himself on the throne, and that's the culmination of his hardening and whatever.
I didn't know they used hard like that. I thought that was us.
Oh, no, it's a Hispanic thing at least, if not more.
All right.
Okay.
We have more in common than we knew.
Yeah.
I think it's gross and stupid, but...
It's
still in common.
You must have heard the chant, come and have a go if you think you're hard enough. That's one of our favourite British football chants from back in the day.
Sorry.
No? All right, you need to hang out with more hooligans.
Football something else, though.
It does, you're right. Kiva.
I do think it's really weird that Wataru would choose to dress up as king. I get it. I get the poetry.
No.
But it is weird.
What poetry? It's over. The bad guys win. I'm going home. Oh, no. Who fell for this?
Well, he's at the point where he will not love, right?
Yeah.
Again, though, you know he's got something in mind, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's a smirk there, I think, at least. Besides the faith that I have in him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have too much to say about Wataru. I have one more thing to say about Tiger. Sort of about Tiger.
What is this?
Do you have anything to say about King Wataru?
Hijack the show.
Hey, Tiger's awesome, okay?
All I have to say about King Wataru is that, again, it's nice to see something that ties into recognisable literary tradition with this guy who's been told all along... Well, not he's not really. There's been this hint that this could be his destiny, and now he's embracing it. But he's obviously embracing it in a way that, you know, he's not intended to be embracing it. He's going to make it his own, and that's nice to see. Go on.
All right.
You weren't ready for that, were you? You thought I was going to talk about his outfit. You thought I was going to say, where did he get it? Why?
And he looks like a goof.
And why? He's cosplaying his not dad, his fake daddy.
Yeah, how rude can you get?
Where did, like, was it in a wardrobe? in Castle Dran, is there like one of the wardrobe tribe? Because remember, there's 13
yeah.
demon tribes. There's got to be like an evil wardrobe tribe in there somewhere.
Beast had one.
Yeah, it's like that's like a thing, isn't it? That's an American thing. The creature in the closet, like boogeyman.
Yeah.
In the closet. So there you go. That's what it is, and that's got all of King's clothes in it, and they're all like. Dante's alternate costumes from Devil May Cry 3.
He would be furious if he knew.
Yeah. Someone's been in my wardrobe. Come on.
Okay. Kivat the Second coming to Tiger to tell him that his sadness has earned him the power of Dark Kiva. Kivat the Second is the gothic narrative. He's the gothic validation in this story that says, yes, you're right, it is a gothic novel in modern television form. Mm-hmm. Because what does he do in this? Because, well, I mean, first of all, because his son, so him, sort of, has always been there through the whole series.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as, but in disguise. As a butler character, so effectively as like the serving of the thing to you, you know?
Okay.
And yeah, as a narrator. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a much better point.
You're welcome.
He is the literal narrator. but yeah, he is now, you know, the Kivat picture is now fully gothic actualized because he's all black and he's older and his voice is deeper and he's scary and stuff.
I think it's the same voice actor, isn't it? Just putting on a slightly nastier voice.
But he bursts into the show.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he's just serving everyone else.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden he becomes totally obvious, and he condemns the overbearing man, King, or Heathcliff, if you like.
Yes.
He shows extreme sympathy with the woman who's been done wrong.
It's, okay.
Which is Maya, obviously.
Yep. I just had a different image in my head when you were talking about gothic fiction.
What?
So I was imagining him as more like Enerby Darkness Dementia.
No, we're going classic.
I'm pretty sure My Immortal's a classic.
Classical?
Alright. So we're going 20th
century classic. I think My Immortal was from 2000 and something.
I think so.
Anyway, yeah, he condemns the overbearing man. He has sympathy with the woman who's been done wrong. He helps the hero. And then he finds his home with the post-tragic second generation of the original characters. That's a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Gothic fiction. Just, bam, done.
Yeah, you're right. What a genius.
Yeah. Thanks.
yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? I don't, again, did they intend it that way? I think it's just a coincidence based on the fact that Inoue is obviously quite a fan of this sort of fiction.
Yeah.
And is so entrenched in it.
Yeah.
That is just how the story happens.
Yeah, I didn't think it was on purpose. Like,
you get this narrator back
we've got
who rewards you for your sadness by giving you power and agency in the story.
Yeah, the little guy is dressed in black at the back of the stage, suddenly rips off his hood and he's like, now, see this here.
Yeah.
No, okay. And you can, you know, listener, you can read a novel and see how that checks out, but we can do the... Well, I started with Heathcliff. You've got Heathcliff, overbearing man, King.
Yep.
Horrible guy who's just mad at everyone. He's not nice. He doesn't love properly because he's a big jerk. He has his own problems, but that's not really an excuse.
Psychic powers, terrible clothes.
Done wrong woman. He's also pretty mean, but kind of a boss and, you know, sees what she wants and goes for it, even if it does ruin her. We've got Maya. We've got Kathy.
Yeah.
Kathy the First, whose surname I've forgotten. Bush. I was trying to remember the other day. We'll go with Bush.
Kate Bush.
The hero of Wuthering Heights, which, of course, I am talking about.
They know.
I'm going to say Kathy, too.
Everybody who listens to this show is really smart.
I would say that Catherine Earnshaw...
Kathy, too, I think, is probably one of the best sequels.
The heroine, hero of Wuthering Heights. And she finds her home, and so does the narrative.
Heroine,
Hareton? Hareton.
Hareton.
Hareton. Very strange name.
Yeah.
Stupid
Goths.
The post-tragic second generation.
Mm-hmm.
Son of Heathcliff. So and then, of course, they fall in love and everything is actualised.
Wow. What a rip-off. I bet Inoue has read Wuthering Heights.
Of course he has. Loads of times. He loved it. Just like me. We're best friends. That's why I defend him constantly.
Someone's gotta like him.
Actually, I would be really interested to know what his favourite books are and things like that. That's the kind of thing that's really interesting.
A good writer reads. That's the thing a lot of writers don't necessarily realise.
So that's that episode.
Think Gordon Ramsay got where he is by not eating breakfast every day.
Probably that's why I say cranky.
You donkey! Let's talk about the final episode.
Okay. So, episode 48, the synopsis, and they all lived happily ever after as they continued to live life as they saw fit. So that's great.
That's not how Castle of Otranto ends.
Well, some of them lived happily ever after.
Yeah, the ones who deserve it, I expect. So, I don't remember.
It ended good for the good and bad for the bad, right?
There we are.
Did you cry?
Man, I cried all over again, actually, at Wataru hugging Taiga. Like, they were going to fight, and then he just grabs them and hugs them.
Yeah, that was cool. That's the kind of thing, like, you always want. Like, if you're, our mindset, you're waiting for that to happen. Like, you like shows with action and fighting, but you're always waiting for that moment where the hero is just like, no, I'm going to hug you.
Also, it was like babies.
I spent a lot of Hokuto no Ken waiting for that moment, and it never really happened.
That's how a baby hugs someone, like a toddler.
Oh, yeah, it was that weird lurching
massive
thing,
forceful, completely full arms.
Yeah.
Like a Frankenstein hug.
That's it, I was going to say. It's like his legs stopped working.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, you know, all over the place in the Torah, it says, and he, you know, fell upon his neck and kissed him.
Yes!
You know,
a father
and son or whoever, you know. It's just so raw.
Lovely.
Kissed his bosom.
Yeah. Huh? Neck, his bosom, all chin. Over the place. Yeah.
No beards in Toku.
May I start this episode with one point?
What?
Sure.
Oh, okay. The episode.
Thanks.
Please.
Okay. I think that it's really good that Otoya is dead already.
Yeah.
Before the end of the last episode, it's good that he is already gone.
No offense, Otoya.
Because Washeru needs to outlive him, fictionally as well as, you know, chronologically.
Yeah.
Because we know he's been dead all the time.
It needs to become Washeru's story.
But the show needed to be fully Washeru's. Otoya's had, like, a lot of climax. It's good that he is, you know, the father must be destroyed.
I hadn't thought of that, but
so
yeah,
the son can fully
if Otoya was still in the show at this point, I don't think it would have. Is there any 1980s in the final? There isn't, is there, in the final episode?
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. When do we stop? When is the last 80s scene? I hadn't even thought of that. Somebody write in and tell us when.
Yeah, you might be right, actually.
When is the last scene of the 80s? How does the 80s end? Because that is quite interesting for a show like this.
I think it ends when Wataru comes back. I think episode 46 is the last we see of it.
So is it... Wait, who's... I'm just wondering who the last people we see in the 80s are and what the situation is. It's not Yuri, is it?
Is it Maya stroking Otoya's dead head?
It could be. Could
yeah.
Be.
Well, that is what we see last.
So yeah, but that kind of... If that is like the climax, then that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it does.
You know? Otoya's story is over. He's the hero of the 80s, I guess.
Freudian.
Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
No.
Forget Freud, everybody.
Yeah, please. Everybody else has. Including the psychiatric establishment. Thank goodness.
I had a little bit of issue with this, but at the same time, it was pretty cool that there was this whole thing that happened where... you know, Shima comes back and, oh, actually, you know, your bro saved me, your brother saved me, and then, oh, hey, I actually became king so that I could protect you because you're going to be a target because you're not as strong as I am, because you're weak, Taiga. But like...
No offense, bro.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny because it's like insulting and infantilizing a little bit, but loving and sweet, because you're not dealing with normal people, you're dealing with Fengar who have been raised in such a way that they'll kill you just so they can have your rank. So your big brother, or your little brother actually, rising up and taking a position of strength to protect you is actually a really loving, kind gesture.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a good thing. And then I need to continue. And then Maya shows up after they defeat, you know, the resurrected king with the weird head. Reinforcing.
he's
I love that head.
He's exactly the same as me, except he's like, ah!
Love it.
Instead of, he's, ah!
Right. But, like, her showing up, you know, dispels the thing that Taiga had killed her, so it reinforces his kindness, but that he had valued the appearance of strength so greatly that he would go to those lengths.
Baby.
Isn't it funny how you can tell a compelling story about a strength-fixated anti-hero without throwing the word strength around constantly? Makes you think.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just went a little bananas there.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Make you like a banana and split.
Hey! Aren't you glad I didn't talk more about that?
As long as you're not being overbearing and lording it over us.
I have to admit, this is just sour grapes on my part.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's move on.
Get to the next segment.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, wow. It's not going to stop, is it? Okay, Otoya is saving Watcher. It was so peachy. No.
Can I just say? Okay, you are still actually watching Gaim, right?
Yeah. Okay. Hold on. Episode 40 is a fever dream. Go ahead, continue.
Is it finished?
No, it's not. Hopefully it'll only be 5 more episodes.
I was going to say, can I come on for the last episode? I will come on for the final episode if you want.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
There you go, fan. I will come back and I'll give it another go and I will learn what's happened. I will get everyone to explain it to me. It'll be fun. It'll be knowledge. It'll be speed. It'll be strength. Carry on.
Yeah, and good hearing too. Don't forget about that.
Absolutely.
Man. Anyway, that is so freaking sexist.
I held a peach up to my ear the other day. And it was like,
did it help?
It was like, Professor Senpai, weren't you noticed? What a stupid character. Anyway, carry on.
It is, like, I think, never mind.
Yeah. We'll tackle
next
this.
Next time you need to crack a safe, grab a peach and hold it up to the safe and then brush your ear against it and you'll be good to go.
No, we will get into this more, and I really hope people want to talk to me about Gaim, because I know, like, a lot of people have strong opinions and I have at least 3, so let's share them. But back to Kiba.
Yeah. So, Otoya saving Watcher and then the brothers joining forces defeat King with their love was so cool.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Their love takes the form of hanging and drop kicking a guy.
Well, you know.
You ever done that? Yeah.
The family that executes together stays together.
That's it. That's how they used to do it here. They'd have the crowd throwing rotten fruit at someone, and they'd kick the stool out from under, and then they'd raise someone up on a ladder, and they'd jump off it and drop kick the person with axes tied to their legs.
It's all good fun.
It's all good fun.
Jeff Hardy. Oh, wow.
Is that, do you want to go?
No, go ahead.
Is that, have
you
we...
You want to go?
Have...
You want to go? You heard?
Shush.
I'm sorry. I have to say. Never mind. Go ahead. Please continue.
Okay. Have we passed the scene in which Wataru taps into what we have previously established to be the best of Otoya when he says, "Tiger's sin is my sin"?
Yeah, I think we just passed it.
Just gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Well spotted. Yeah.
It was a very definite kickback, callback, whatever you prefer. Very strong policy. Very strong policy.
A lot of humility, a lot of integrity being shown there by the young man.
Very generous, very compassionate.
Yeah, he's a little less young, a little more man.
It's quite... if you want to go there, and why not, that is an extremely... positive style of masculinity. It's better as a style of adulthood rather than masculinity. But if you are the kind of person who is locked into seeing men as having masculinity, that is the kind you want to shoot for.
Well, this
really.
Show is so. Yeah, I mean, these shows are. Yeah. Kamen Rider is masculinity and femininity. So I mean, yeah, it is. You're right. It's man. We've already used the term. Oh, we know he's a man. He's a good young man. And it's true. It's like it sounds really backhanded to say it's the best we can hope for in the circumstances.
But well, to be honest, it probably would feel a bit insulting if it was girls saying that to girls.
Right.
Because that is sort of a classically feminine
trained
approach, you know, like, I'll do it for you, just, you know, pile it all on me. But it's nice to see it reframed as a strength-based approach. And that is one of the many wonders of thinking about gender, is that you can make things that you don't like seem better, and things that you do seem more interesting.
I don't know why you guys think about these shows so much.
Yeah, well, it's a disease.
Yeah, I guess so. All right. I don't want to sound... Well, you guys know my particular religious bent, so I don't want to sound Christian.
Hang on, where's it written? I've got it on the post-it note.
Yeah.
You practice Judaism as a Gentile. Gentile? Gentile.
That's right. That's right. A genteel Gentile, actually.
There you go.
but the whole, taking on the sin for somebody you love is very, messianic. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, way Christ-like and
gotcha,
you know, at least in my understanding and, Judaism's interpretation, notwithstanding some sexism in different sects of Judaism, God is ascribed both masculine and feminine qualities because you need both to be like a real person. Anyway, moving on.
For sure. Both and everything in between and outside.
You can also hear that kind of thing in Sailor Moon.
Of course you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, go watch Sailor Moon. It's great.
Great plug. Go listen to Moonspeak.
Oh, yeah. And
you're
that
allowed
too.
To do that.
That'd be great. Of course. Yeah, watch some Crystal and then... and then watch Moonspeak. Sorry. Crystal meth.
I'm always watching my crystals.
Very common in my area. Anyway, watch Sailor Moon Crystal and then check out Moonspeak. It's fun stuff. Anyway, continuing with Kiba. It takes strength to be kind, and it is harder to reach out to others and say, help me, or I love you. But love can overcome deadly cycles of endless war and return sight to the blind and give us the strength to keep on living.
Often,
there you go.
Not so much literally.
Yeah.
With the blindness.
No. He's being...
I know, but, you know, we may have blind listeners, and I'm sure a lot of people love them, but they remain blind.
Okay. You don't have to put too fine a point on it. I think our blind listeners hopefully will understand...
Just saying.
...the poetic language that sometimes Hamlet slips into.
Clarification. It's never a loss.
Okay.
I would agree with that. Okay. If there's nothing else, I'd like to say yay for Nago and Megumi.
Yeah. Did you catch my hint?
How did this happen?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I thought you might.
We've brought up the gothic and tragic elements of Kiba, but ending with a wedding is about as classically comic as you can get, you know.
It's pretty gothic as well.
The old Socrates... Yeah, but no,
I married him.
You either have your comedy or your tragedy, don't you? And your comedy ends with a wedding and your tragedy ends with a funeral. That's the old school of it, right?
But that's what makes Gothic so interesting.
Oh, I know.
It has both of those elements,
but
without jokes.
Yeah, but I'm glad that Kiba ends... Honestly, I think it's much more... It's relatively common now to have this thing. The amount of, short stories that I've marked that start with not necessarily a literal funeral, but the loss of death or death of something. It's become way more common in cultural consciousness to start a story in a tragic way. And I think it's really good that Kiba doesn't necessarily have that. It has a quite a morbid tone because we start off at a church. Wait, it does start with a funeral, or is it a wedding?
It's a wedding.
Oh, it's bookended then. But no, I mean, it starts off with people dying and being hunted down. It's quite scary and stuff happening at night. But no, the end, very much wedding, happy, daytime. Comic, uplifting. And like you say, maybe Gothic, one of the benefits of Gothic fiction is it can play with all of that stuff if it wants to. Mm. It can intertwine death and romance, without seeming contradictory.
Yeah. Vampires.
Otranto, for example, had the a pretty good bittersweet ending. There's loss, and then it's life goes on, and there's consolation, sort of.
How does Dracula end? I don't remember.
It ends with Jonathan Harker, I believe, remembering the death of Quincy Morris.
Not so much a wedding.
No, it is. I think it is quite sad. Someone has kids, though. I think maybe Quincy had a kid. Jonathan and Mina have a kid now. Oh, they have a kid and they name them after Quincy, I think. I don't remember.
As seen in Marvel's Tomb of Dracula.
Oh, I was going to say Castlevania.
Yeah, that too.
All right. Let's see. What else? Okay. Oh, so, yeah, speaking of all this happiness at the end, I'm so happy for everyone's bright future.
Yes.
Masao was hilarious and touching, I would say, with the hope that that brings to Wataru's life, because he's going to one day find love and, you know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Have special time.
Not with Mio. I mean, that's weird, yeah. Right? That's interesting.
Yeah.
But
you have to think about it for a second, but it's, yeah.
I have no regrets about that. Or,
no, it's great.
I'm just happy for him because he had his sadness
idea.
Over her death.
Yeah.
And he dealt with it. He's dealt with it. He mourned. Now he's ready to move on with life, and he will one day. Maybe not now, maybe in 6 years, maybe, you know, whenever.
Maybe when Tiger eventually mentions, by the way, he didn't kill her.
But how much... Yeah, Tiger saved everybody. All the Fangar are fine. They're all living happily, having a little pie. Now, how much, like, kids' fiction, especially Japanese kids' fiction, because it is true, it is rife there, this idea that your first crush is, like, your destined love forever,
first
and you have, to get,
girl wins.
You have to get married to him and have kids. And it's like, all you have to do is tell kids you are actually allowed to take your time and make your mind up.
Mm.
It's so weird to me that it's almost like hypocrisy, where you have all this like manly misogynist crap in it, even in shows for kids, but never once is it like, you know, you can play the field. It's so strange. It's almost hypocritical. And it's not even about playing the field, it's just about like, it's almost made, like any other show would make Mio out to be some kind of jewel that he has to keep on a ring or something. Like, no, she's dead, pal. You can't even call her up and cry down the phone to her when you're drunk. She's dead.
It's a comfort thing, isn't it? Because children, if you're telling a comforting children's story, you don't want to be like, and then later it went wrong, but then after that, it was, because that's just more story.
Of course.
It's a tricky thing to get around, but Kiva managed.
Hmm. I will say, actually, one of my most beloved and hated things of Forze is Gentaro's romance.
We're not on Forze.
No, I know. I just wanted to say... No, we're not on Gaim yet, but we brought it up 50 million times.
Well, should we have, though?
Yeah. And I think it is very dangerous. I think you have to make a decision early on in your show. Is this the kind of character that is going to have a romantic subplot?
Because
if they're not, just stick to your guns. Mm. Otherwise, it'll seem kind of weird.
Mm.
And for crying out loud, let people have more than one... Let people make mistakes in love. It really seems like a lot of... It seems like a lot of romantic stories are written by people who don't actually think romantically, and I think that's really sad. And I think part of thinking romantically is being able to admit that you can make mistakes in love.
Yeah.
Not that your first love is your truest. I think that's unromantic. I think that's just unrealistic and boring.
Yeah, it's. I think it's not so much whether or not it is. It's the idea that there is no question.
Yeah. Okay.
I agree way more with Claire.
No.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. A
I
better
think
point.
We were disagreeing, crazy.
Honestly, I was sitting here silently thinking, like, I don't think so, but I just didn't want to say anything because I didn't have anything really productive to say.
I'm not saying nobody should fall in love with their first crush. You know, that's like real life stuff, but I just think it's played out in fiction.
Ah, okay. There's a distinction. Sorry.
Okay.
All right, well, shall we continue?
Sure. Now that we know you don't hate me and you think Claire's the best.
Well, you know.
Jeez.
Never mind.
My only criticism of Masao, by the way, is that his Kiva suit wasn't orange and blue like his Kibat.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Yeah. Just this once, I'll let it go. Because I know they had a budget and it's just like a 2-second appearance, but I'm just saying.
Maybe they should have color-corrected it.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah. Because Dark Kiva, like, that's not really a special thing. That's just like a title they use. That just happens to be what the suit made by Kibat the Second looks like.
Right.
You know? That's just Kiva. That's just another Kiva. And I'd like for all the different Kivas to be shown to be different, but whatever.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I was happy to see, you know, a toy's actor coming back and portraying him.
Yeah, Claire, you were wrong. He is in this episode.
Well, you know. I don't know. It was It was pretty funny. I mean, just, he was, to borrow, I think, a British term, I think I'm using this accurately, he was quite foppish.
Yes, that's like nowhere near the term I was expecting.
No.
Oh, but is it right or not?
Yeah.
It's probably right. It's not used too much these days because it's gotten all mixed up with, like, calling people a gay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. But, well, I don't mean that.
Yeah.
Well, he was, you know.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No, it's like,
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He just seems...
certainly had a different... He took maybe more after his granddad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's definitely flamboyant, but just kind of, I don't know. I'm old, so I feel like, you know, kids with their bright purple pants and stuff are...
It was dazzlingly...
Pants. It's just, it's too much.
Dazzlingly well-observed prediction. Of future fashion.
Can I say, though, that
sure.
I am 100% sure...
Kanye shades.
...that that he had a gilet on because of Marty McFly.
I'd like to think so.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
He did have a gilet on.
That's what it felt like.
And Clint Eastwood never wore anything like that. But I'd like to think so.
Because, I mean, he even... had an air of Christopher Lloyd about him.
Really?
Yeah. You know when he comes in right at the end of the film and he's like, it's not you, it's your kids.
Yeah.
He's got that, like, weird walk and the mad eyes
and
stuff.
Yeah, the foppish walk.
He's got that same sort of aspect to him.
Very, very, very interesting.
And he kind of has the goofiness of Marty Jr. too, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
But you mentioned, he is in this episode after all.
I did. Ha!
Well.
Oh, no.
He is in this, the actor is in this episode as a son, which is just Watteru fully ousting his father by becoming a father just like you, so now we're equal.
Man, fathering your father, that's pretty ancient Greek there, huh?
Yeah, it is.
That ain't no, it's only a Greek god that went that far. Fathering your father, that's been, wow.
You could probably think of one, I think.
Well, yeah,
time,
maybe.
That's not. Can I pop back to Megumi and Nago for a second?
Of course.
Well, I do.
Got a couple things. Right back before the ending, actually. I would just like to point out that during their leisure centre training sequence, Megumi's hair looked excellent.
Yeah.
It was a very neat ponytail. It had a corkscrewy effect.
When does she find time to do that?
It's just natural.
Yeah.
I was going to say she's a woman. She's more capable.
No.
There you go.
No.
Sorry.
No.
I did like that Nago finally gets to use his questionable catchphrase, please return that life to God.
Oh, yeah.
On someone who's even worse at religion than he is.
I see your point.
At last.
Yeah, because everybody said it to now, it's like, he seems like such a jerk. Yeah. And, well, he stopped using it for a bit, didn't he, when he kind of turned face.
But now it just seems really facetious and like a victory, a rude victory.
Yeah, Bishop was never, I mean, I don't hang out with a lot of men of the cloth, but Bishop was never really a good, we haven't even mentioned Bishop once, actually, have we? I think I did go into it in the last episode, how he's kind of become the main baddie, because that sort of open-mouthed zombie king that he resurrects is just, I mean, that's just like a, I don't know.
Puppet.
Yeah, you know, it's such a little figment
of a thing.
It's a
bit of an embarrassing denouement to King's life.
Yeah.
Oh, it's appropriate, though.
Yeah, it is.
No, but it's, I don't know, I would have liked, I don't know, I just would have preferred just to have Bishop, maybe. It's just, it seems a little unfocused to me. But like I said the last time as well, Ixa needs someone to kill, doesn't he? It's that old thing where the rival rider gets, like, you know, the next guy down the scale.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is, just as predictable as anything in Double or Game.
I can't deny that at all.
I did, we mentioned the blindness a little.
We did.
And I know some people do have problems with, like, disability being used as a metaphor, which is fair enough. But, as it has been, let's talk about that, I mean, it was quite effective. Problematic, though, it probably is. Because, you know, metaphoric blindness turns into literal blindness, and then he's cured of both.
Yeah.
Probably if I was blind, I would be quite annoyed.
Yeah. I
don't know. But,
it's the kind of thing I can't imagine.
Yeah. I don't know. It was, I have in caps lock, blindness of passage. Because it was the final, he's gone through the whole character development, I don't understand people, I'm coming around. It was the final distillation of his entire series,
I want to agree with Amit that it was a little bit late to introduce something like this. It still seems very contrived.
Well, yeah.
and I don't know. I mean, did he learn something from it? Surely that could have been done differently. He was on the way anyway, wasn't he?
I mean, I don't mean maybe that it was just accelerated things. But it let them have that exchange of, you're kind. Oh, I actually respect you. And it probably nothing else really would have, because it needed to be something combat based to suit both of their characters and to suit their.
I guess so. No, I like the, 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock combat stuff. That's cool, because that appeals to me on a variety of levels. I suppose it's definitely not the worst blindness of passage I've ever seen, if I'd thought about it, I would have made more of a conscious effort to compare it to Shiryu's multiple encounters with blindness in Saint Seiya. He's a character, I know Amit isn't necessarily familiar with the series in question, but this is a character who is blinded relatively early on. He blinds himself in order to beat a guy with Medusa powers.
Oh, okay. Well, that's smart.
And then later he gets better because he unlocks the seventh sense beyond the sixth sense. They all do this. I think by the end of the series they're up to eight, and there's a ninth one according to source books.
Huh.
We'll go into that later. Yeah, but I mean, and then he's better, right? But then later he fights a guy who can make really bright light that's like the brightest light, and it is super light that you can't even shut your eyes from. And that blinds him again. And then later they go to hell, and then because in hell you don't see with your eyes, he can see again. And then when he comes out of hell, he can still see. Because, I don't know, he learned how to see like he's in hell.
A period of healing.
Yeah, long period. So, like, there's all that, and he doesn't learn a bloody thing. This is a character who specifically, like, for me, I mean, Saint Seiya characters are all pretty two-dimensional. Shiryu really could he seemed like a really, like, sheltered, ignorant character whose whole point is that he doesn't understand that there's the love of his life is right in front of him for the whole series.
Ugh.
It never comes to anything. No, that's not what happens. That is what, I'm saying that's what should happen.
Oh,
because actually it's not even that interesting.
Okay.
The cartoon adaptation actually does something with it, with a small filler arc, actually does something with the blindness. So it's a rare time when filler is actually improved on source material. But the actual, the blindness itself never comes to anything, really. I think, honestly, the only reason it was put in was for the sort of visceral drama of, I am going to sacrifice my sight. And it's quite gross, like the scene where he pokes his own eyes with his fingers. And it has very sad music in the cartoon. But, like, learning? With Nago, I mean, he doesn't do it to himself, so there's hardly any drama in that, and it does seem very sudden.
He learns through,
I guess.
Protecting.
I'd say much more comes from it, though. Yeah. I'd say it's much more worthwhile.
Well, with Shiryu's blindness, he's forced to rely on Shinrei.
Half an hour.
Yeah, but he is, and she brings things for him, and she cooks him dinner,
filler
and
only.
Makes him eat, and
filler only.
Yeah, even so,
okay.
And he doesn't really appreciate it. He doesn't change his attitude towards her at all.
It's one of my favorite.
Admit, oh yeah, maybe we've got a crush on each other. There's nothing. Whereas Nago, he's forced to rely on memory, but it doesn't humiliate him.
No.
Finally, it would have earlier.
I will give. He
is forced to discover, as he says, that. Well, no, she says that she respects him, says that she's kind, but he's forced to prove, without even thinking about it, that he does respect her judgment and her prowess in battle and
that's
all
true.
That stuff.
He
does what she tells him. On the field.
What we've all suspected, maybe, that he does kind of respect her is finally made literal on the screen, which is great. It's very fulfilling. I feel the need to fight the corner of my beloved childhood series a little.
You can try.
No, I just want to put it in context for people who don't know, because it's quite funny. Saint Seiya was released when during Kiva's flashback sequences.
Huh.
Right? Just to put that in context. So Saint Seiya was new when Atoya was when Atoya died. Atoya actually wouldn't have even seen the second chapter released, if my calculations are correct.
Poor guy.
So, I mean, yeah, it is pretty old. So obviously 20 years on, I would expect a work of fiction to deal with that issue more intelligently. And yeah, like Amit said, it is very sudden. I like what comes of it. I mean, how do you feel about that now, Amit, now that you've seen the denouement?
I feel a little bit better, but I wish it would have been worked in earlier. Like, the whole thing, you know, he didn't do it to himself. Well, he actively sacrificed his own well-being and safety to protect her, and not... And I want to say it was different this time because he was so open. He didn't come in with his sword drawn up in a guarding position.
Mm.
It was like he was exposing himself to
yeah.
protect her. So there was like a mark of humility in that and yeah. Like abandon for his own well-being. And I think maybe that is a...
Love.
Part of, yeah, it's part of his, you know, love for her, but that he had even been concealing from himself. And then the whole, talking about it makes it better. Cause then, the concept of him going blind makes it so, oh yeah, yeah, okay, obviously he's seeing what he couldn't see before now that he's blind and he has to rely on these other things because before he just would arrogantly dismiss stuff cause he could take care of himself. But then, you know, he goes through this humbling journey. You know, for two episodes, that shows him the truth. And so to me, it makes sense that metaphorically he starts to see and then physically he can actually see after he only comes to see after destroying, Bishop, but that comes through working with her and trusting in her completely, trusting his life with her and that faith in her and the love between them is what causes the healing to come about.
Mm.
So it can be talked, it can be massaged into being really good.
Yeah.
I'm glad that talking about it makes it sound better. Contrary to running through those little plot lines of Saint Seiya there, which just made it sound even sillier than it actually is. Yep.
I've got two last little bits.
Okay. Right.
Does anyone else have anything they want to put in first?
I love Kiva.
Yeah.
And I can't wait till I have like a 10-year-old so I can show it without fetters. Because I think it's too intense in some places for a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I know
for
that,
a young child.
Amit mentioned Masao and, you know, it being a Toya's actor and how appropriate that is. This is kind of, you know, this is a joke. But what if it had been Masahiro, Tsukasa? I mean, like, too much, I know, but like, just because we watched TV
I think that
would have
been cool.
We watched TV rips, and I got a kick out of the Decade preview at the end, because I was like, oh yeah, I like Decade. I thought, oh, what? Because Wataru is in the first episode of Decade, isn't he?
Yeah.
He like, in character, tells...
He's like the wives.
Yeah, he tells Tsukasa what lies ahead of him. Yeah. I just thought it would have been funny if he'd been, you know... Even future boy, but no, I agree that it could that it should. It's the way it is perfect and fine.
Well, on the theme of love that you started, Amit, I think it's very beautiful how. Well, on the one hand, I just really like that everyone's in the church.
Everybody, even Mitsu, who I didn't really expect to see again.
Well, he would go to his own sister's wedding.
Yeah, but oh. Yeah, alright. Well, maybe... I'm sorry, let's just run through all the times in Kamen Rider when it would have made sense for this character to do something.
Well, this one's just better.
Why did Hongo come back from Europe with two different women to the one he left
Things
with?
Things happen. It was the 70s.
What happens in Switzerland stays in Switzerland.
Nago looks at Megumi's hand when it is given to him.
Yes.
Like it is a rare treasure. And obviously it is, but... You know, he's showing his real emotions on his face in front of a whole crowd.
Yep.
What a big boy he's become.
You lost the overly scene with Yuri in the chair, by the way.
No, I didn't. Oh, that's, sorry. That's my last thing.
Oh!
That's my last thing.
We're on the same wavelength.
Because, first of all, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I love how she composes herself in order to talk to nothing. But also,
very good acting.
Is it nothing? Because my headcanon is that it's not nothing. That is Yuri for real, and Jiro done a favour.
Ghosts!
Oh.
Mm. Oh, is Yuri like a weapon now?
No. We know he has a time door.
I want a little, imagine a little toy Yuri that
turns
into a gun.
That was 1986 Yuri.
Okay.
Wow.
And Yuri's doing a favour because he knows
that
he owns.
There's a post-credit sequence we could have done with, isn't there?
Because she disappears in that golden light.
She does.
Right.
Which Wataru also, I think.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And that's just, oh, it's so precious. Yeah. But especially like when you think about the film where Yuri refuses to have anything to do with Megumi because she doesn't want to. Like, that's non-canon, but you can appreciate that that would have been the feelings that she would have had given the opportunity. So between halfway through the series and the end of the series, she's grown that much and she's become that much more generous, that much more mature. We've seen it, but it's nice to have it capped. And it's just really nice that Megumi might, for real, actually have got that.
Yeah. I don't think there's a nicer wedding scene in Kamen Rider. Anybody wanna call me out on that?
Oh, I'm sure the double one.
No, I'm naming a new series.
Okay, fine.
I like.
What did you say? Only talk about good series?
Yeah. I like seeing the arms monsters goofing around as well.
Yeah.
Lots of mugging, wasn't there? If you can go back, if you watch that scene without the sound, it'll make it easier to pick out visuals.
Yeah.
And there's so much mugging going on in the background, just people goofing around, stage business.
But it's cool because it's this unbridled joy as they're getting married. You know, everybody's so happy for them. It's great.
Yep.
It is. It's really nice.
People flashing cell phones, Jiro roaring.
Yeah,
Ramon looking
Ricky
nervous.
Ricky looking for kisses, I think.
Yes, I believe so.
What a sweetie.
I think he tries to kiss Jiro, doesn't he? So overwhelmed with emotion.
And people taking pictures on their phones, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, they
Which
are.
Which is, oh, hey. Modern times.
Yeah.
That's nice.
2009, man.
And it's good too, we haven't even mentioned him for ages, Kengo. Kengo gets to come back in the last episode as well.
Oh, yeah, we have
And gather the
Kengo.
Presents because he's their friend and that's his whole point. The whole point of Kengo is to be a friend and he still is even at the end.
Well, I think his last scene before this was really powerful, so I didn't think we needed him to show up all the time. But yeah, of course.
No, but it's important that he goes to the wedding.
Oh. Again, I know it's easy to criticise a little Easter egg scene like we get at the end, but wouldn't have minded seeing three Ixas. Maybe, in that little ending lineup, because we got him. I mean, you know, wouldn't have minded seeing them, like, they open the presents and there's Ixa Knuckles in there.
Yeah.
And Kengo, Megumi, and Nago all turn to Ixas.
I do get a bit mad that Megumi's not allowed to join the fight at the end.
What can you say?
It can't be fixed now, so I won't dwell, because that'll just make me cross.
What can you say? Yeah, I know, it is something, isn't it, when Ramon is there and Megumi is... Yeah, you blow bubbles at that UFO.
Oh man, I liked too seeing happy whole Taiga. Just showing up, and I liked the little moment where Maso looks at him and uncle. Just
isn't it
it's
nice
so,
thing from being it, an uncle.
Yeah,
it just made it so. It made it just feel so much more real, and I was happy to see just the little detail of him, you know, being president again, and. All that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that was cool, wasn't it? When he retakes control. They almost didn't need to do that, where he reasserts control of, like, his company. It's like, we're going to find an alternative to life energy.
It was really nice.
That's like a real ending. I don't expect that from Kamen Rider, honestly. Normally, like, I'm a huge Kamen Rider fan, but the endings suck.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. And what's even better, though, is that he's like, no, we're going to try really hard. This next year's going to suck. It's going to be very difficult to make this work, but we're going to do it.
It's our new war.
Business.
He's taken on the tenacity that he shifted his energies to this other cause.
Well,
and
it's
great.
Yeah. Isn't it that you notice, if I recall rightly, he's using the Dark Kiva armor at the end, right?
He is. Uh-huh.
We kind of, I mean, is Wataru king? Like, or doesn't it matter anymore? What's, like, what happens next for Fanguys?
I think it's left open for interpretation, and I think their fight, I think Taiga beat him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, yeah, wow. That's, Whew, that's interesting. See, it's funny. I think there's a couple of Super Sentai where mostly where people talk about this kind of thing, and the 10 years after OVAs have kind of borne this out, there are a couple of series where you almost want to know what happens next. There's so many where I just be like, okay, whatever. But there's some writer series where I just think, oh, you know what? Just a little manga epilogue or or a movie 10 years down the line. Like Denno didn't need it at all, but it got 50,000 movies. Didn't need it. Kiva, I think, would kind of benefit. I'd like to see Masao versus the Neo Fanga just one off. I kind of would. I want to know what's in the UFO. I do. Can't help it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you, actually.
Yeah, it's like Jetman. Like, people wanted to see a replacement for Guy, you know, and there was that manga where it's like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the green.
Is it? Okay, I don't remember. He's like a guitarist or something. I have such vague memories of it. And, you know, was it Hurricane 10 years after? And there was a...
Yeah, they got one.
A Kyoryuja one, I think, like 100 years after or something it is.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a Kamen Rider series where I want to see the epilogue. So many I'm not bothered about.
Yeah.
Some of my favourite series, Kabuto, Agato, not bothered.
Well, we've already seen Agato, haven't we?
How do you mean?
It is its own epilogue.
It does carry on going, yeah. No, but I wouldn't mind seeing, what's her name, Mana, you know, just... Because give the, whatever they are, Gothic Lolita Psychopath movies a rest.
Yeah.
And let's have her as Agato movie.
That would be, yeah, I would be at home to that.
Pretty boss. She can have a machine gun if she wants, or like an umbrella machine gun if she wants, as long as she's Agato. I don't care.
Okay, so we like Kiva, right? That's the conclusion.
We do like Kiva.
It's really good stuff.
Quite a lot.
I think Kiva is one of my favorite Heisei series.
Yeah.
I think Kiva is one of my favorite anythings.
Mm.
It is an extremely well put together piece of fiction.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in terms of a product, I think I'll say it is the best Kamen Rider series.
People overlook planning, and I think Kiva is probably the best planned Rider series.
Yeah.
Story-wise, not plot-wise. It's great. You know, I still think writing is great, but we'll separate narrative, plot, and story. I think story-wise, it is one of the tops, because right from the start, I went on about the strength, I think, of the Fangai as monsters. And I think that stays strong all throughout the series up until the end. I'm still so curious about where their culture goes.
Mm.
And that's something, like, I wasn't thinking, what's next for Shocker?
Yeah.
Because they is terrorists, and I'm glad they're gone.
And they is dead.
Exactly.
I do wonder if my saying that is related to the fact that it is clearly rooted in a lot of Western literary tradition, which obviously I'm more familiar with than Japanese.
A lot of writer is. We love Agato, and that wouldn't be what it was without Judeo-Christian
themes. No, it wouldn't. I just, you know, I want to be on watch. I don't think that's it, but
okay.
if there's some essayist out there who's like, well, look, this series relates to this and this and this in these ways, and actually if you understood that, then you would see how good it is, then
okay.
I would like to read that. But, in my current state of international ignorance, I do think that Kiva is tops.
That's the kind of essay I used to write. I could... I'm kind of busy. I could give it a go.
Claire, what, if you can recall at this time, and if you can't, I'll edit it out, what kinds of things do we have to look forward to with the special Kiva show that you did a while back?
Sort of things to look forward to. It's really just a much condensed, because obviously it was just a couple of hours. It wasn't multiple hour,
just
multiple recordings
like, yeah,
like this full series of interviews. But it was much more of a reminiscence, and a sort of character by character. Did you like it? What do you think? Is he handsome?
There were some disagreements, though.
There were.
Interesting.
There were, yeah.
Which I kind of didn't expect, to be honest. I wasn't involved with this, by the way, listener.
No, I didn't necessarily expect it either, but I don't know, I'm not expecting anything, because that's why I ask other people what they think, so you can find out.
Okay.
I don't know that I said anything, if I said anything that I haven't said in this, but I am one of three, so.
So that should be exciting for everybody to hear. I think we're pretty much done discussing this. I feel like we've gone over it fairly thoroughly. I mean, there's a lot of hours we have clocked on the show. I'm not averse to, I personally am not averse to discussing Kiva more with any other listeners. I know Aleph is, fairly recently finished, Kiva, but that's also true for a lot of other Kamen Rider series. So, I don't know if he might want to talk about it or if any of the listeners would like to say anything to us after this is released, and you know, we could do something more on it, or we may just leave it here with what we have. So are there any final comments you'd like to make, keeping all that in mind?
Oh, I'm certainly amenable to more text conversations. If anyone wants to be like, I think this, then I will say, well, I think this. That's very welcome.
Yeah, I'm not actually like, I'm not mean, and I won't make fun of you. So let's talk about Kiva. With regards to the quality of the series and the creative team behind it, I'm quite looking forward to Drive. That's all I'll say on the matter. There you go.
Alright.
Just want to throw that out there.
If anyone has been listening and has had like a really strong reaction, like, no, that's stupid, you idiot. Obviously it's this, which is a situation that I have experienced many times listening to other people's nonsense.
Yeah, at the bus stop.
Please, you know,
on a plane.
Tell us. If someone's really thinking...
See, what I just did then by bringing up Drive, I was trying to send this in a positive direction.
I know.
Okay.
But if there have been any really forceful disagreements,
yeah,
or agreements, but disagreeing is fine, then that is interesting. So please say it.
I would quite like to know where people think that Kiva's plot is its weak point, because I don't know if that's just like an urban legend that has somehow taken root in popular consciousness, because like of all the things you can criticize Kiva for, seriously, like, it's one of the best plotted writer shows ever. I mean, I love Super One, but I'm not about to claim that it had a better plot than Kiva. I think Amit himself, you know, Mr. Kamen Rider Black, Mr. email account actually went by Minami Kotaro for a while, would admit...
Well, the one still does.
Yeah, that Kiva is a better written series than Black.
Oh yeah, for sure. I only wish Black was written... Like, the
Black's
only way...
Brilliant. It is. It's so unique and it's so cool, but yeah.
The only way that Kiva could be better is if Tetsuro Karata was in it as Wataru, even though he's like 40 at this point, you know.
Oh, no,
I don't know if those eyebrows could pull off Wataru's questioning personality.
Tetsuo Karata, okay, you do the Neo Fangai movie. Tetsuo Karata as Tiger's new right hand man, the grasshopper Fangai.
Oh yeah. My God!
I'll watch that.
There you go.
Yeah.
See that, kids.
I would sign up for that.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to talk speculation with people, like.